moment, she thought he couldn't understand the words she was saying anymore. Maybe he was too far gone. But when that whistle blew, Denny angled his body and sank the axe deep into the flesh of the log he was balanced on. Brighton spared one look of gratitude to her, then twisted his body with the blow of his axe. Rhythmic chop, chop, chopping filled the entire area, and the onlookers surged forward, crowding around this final event before the relay. Borlanders, Greybacks, and Ash Crew competitors were causing heavy damage to the logs, but Danielle found it hard to look away from Denny. His arms and torso flexed with each blow he sent shuddering through the log. His eight-pack rippled as he pulled the axe back out and swung in a graceful arch again. Full determination took his face as he set his stormy silver eyes on the task of demolishing the thick log with his axe blade. The cheers from the crowd were deafening, drowning out the sound of the axes sinking into the splintering wood. Danielle was bumped and pushed forward, but she didn't care. Denison was beautiful, powerful, lethal. She'd never seen this side of him. It wasn't the sweet side or the protective side. This was fierce competitiveness and acute focus. The same hands that could pluck the most beautiful notes out of a guitar were gripping an axe and doing serious damage with each swing. His springboard bounced as he found his rhythm. It was so close, she almost couldn't watch. She couldn't tell who was winning. Brighton, Denny, and Kellen looked to be neck and neck with the other crews. Onlookers were starting to chant the names of their favorite crews, and she joined in. Ash Crew! Ash Crew! Great goodness, she was proud of these boys. Skylar was jumping up and down beside her, chanting for Kellen, and Danielle couldn't stop the excitement that bubbled out of her throat as the boys got closer and closer to chopping through the wood. She chanted louder with the crowd and squeezed Skylar's hand as they jumped together. Denison gave one last powerful swing, and his log buckled. Then the top half caved. Kellen's went a split second later, followed by Matt's, then Brighton's. The onlookers were going wild around them, and she and Skylar faced each other and screamed elatedly. They'd done it! They'd qualified for the relay. The announcer called it, and Denison jumped from his springboard like he couldn't get away from Matt fast enough. As he weaved through the crowd, Danielle bolted for him. He crushed her to his chest as soon as he reached her and buried his face against her neck. "I need a minute, I need a minute," he said low over and over again. "Oh, crap." Danielle gave Skylar a helpless look and guided him through the crowd. Where were his sunglasses? She couldn't remember where he'd put them. Maybe they were still in the cup holder on top of the cooler near the lake. The onlookers clapped Denison on the back as they passed, and his body vibrated with the reverberating congratulatory hits. "It's okay. I'm here," she murmured. As soon as they were free of the masses, she turned and pulled him toward the tents. An alleyway would be ideal, but just as she found one without anyone in it, she spied something even better. A dressing tent where the contestants had been erected. She dashed inside, but only one man remained in there, shirt off, and texting on his phone from a bench against the white canvas wall. "Out," she ordered. The man looked up, then his eyes darted to Denison behind her, who was shifting his weight from side to side, looking down. "Is he hurt?" Texty Fingers asked. "He'll be fine." She jerked her chin toward the door. "Hint, hint." The man grabbed a gym bag and rushed out the opening. Danielle tied the three cords that sealed the tent flaps closed and turned just in time to catch Denison's hug. He lifted her off her feet and squeezed until she struggled to draw breath. She was finding it really hard to complain right now, though, because Denison was emitting a low rumble that lifted the hairs on the back of her neck. "Shh." Draping her arms around his neck, she squeezed him and laid kisses across his forehead. The scruff of his short beard brushed against her shirt, and her skin warmed as he exhaled a breath against the fabric. "I can't stop, I can't," he murmured, not making any sense. Whatever was happening was bad, and she didn't know what to do to help him. Desperately, she lifted his chin to plead with him. His eyes were feral and reflected oddly in the dim light like an animal's. Unthinking, she lowered her mouth and brushed her tongue against his. He opened for her and cupped the back of her head. His kiss became urgent and needy, and suddenly she was burning from the inside out. Whatever he was doing, whatever he was pulling from her, pooled instant wetness between her legs. It was instinctive, the need to be with him, something deep within her she was helpless to stop. Danny, please, she begged. Please what? She didn't know.
Can you be quiet? He asked. I'll take care of you. Can you keep quiet if I touch you?
Yes, she lied. He set her on her feet and yanked at the fly of her jeans, then shoved his hand into her panties and cupped her sex. She moaned as he slid his finger inside of her and pressed his palm against her clit. His kisses were hard, swallowing the sound. His heartbeat raced under her hand as she rubbed the smooth skin there, and his nipple drew up into a tight bud under her touch. A delicious shiver began at the base of her tailbone and zinged up her spine until it landed in her shoulders. She loved Denny like this, wild, barely in control, slits of snowy color every time he barely opened his eyes. Encircling her waist with his arm, he pressed his finger into her harder and sped up the pace. She was already gone, floating to pieces, held together only by Denny's embrace. She didn't realize she was the one making the gasping sound until he shushed her softly and filled her mouth with his tongue, taking away her voice. His bicep flexed with each stroke into her, and she tossed her head back as he drew an orgasm from her. Her body clenched around his finger over and over as waves of pleasure washed through her. Dennison let out a trembling sigh that sounded nothing shy of relieved, and he relaxed his hold around her hips. He rested his forehead against hers and closed his eyes. When he opened them again, they were gray once more. Still too light to be completely human, but closer to his own color.
I'm sorry, he said on a breath.
Don't ever apologize for that. You just shared more of yourself with me than you ever have, she whispered, nuzzling her cheek against his.
He pulled his hand from between her legs and buttoned her carefully, then took his time, making sure her shirt was straight and the hem perfect.
He was stalling, and she smiled at how endearing it was. Are you ready to go back out there now? She asked.
Jeez, Badger. You really want that goat, don't you?
I want the Ashker to win this. Amusement pooled in the soft color of his eyes as he searched her face.
That's my girl.
Chapter 9
Danielle's head bobbed against the seat cushion with the uneven road. Her lips were parted slightly, her dark hair fanned across her cheek. Dennison pulled his attention away from Kellen's taillights in front of his Bronco, long enough to tuck her hair behind her ear so he could see her face better. He'd been drinking her in since she fell asleep an hour ago. It was dark out, but the glow of the radio dials illuminated her face in soft blues. The little gray goat lay in her lap, curled into a compact ball under her hands, staring back at him, and apparently comfortable to just be still against Danielle. She'd always had a way with animals. She'd never met a dog on the street she didn't stop and pet, then rope the owners into a conversation about how cute their fur baby was. He'd taken her to a petting zoo when she'd been here before, just to watch her light up from the inside as she spent 3 hours petting every single animal. She'd named every last one of them and asked their keeper about their quality of life. Dennison sighed and narrowed his eyes at the sharp angle of a switchback he had to maneuver carefully to avoid going over a side rail and off a cliff. Danielle liked animals, so maybe she could handle the snarling beast inside of him. But what if she couldn't? What if she ran? It was too risky to share himself completely with her right now. He had to be patient, had to wait until he was absolutely sure he wouldn't lose his mate again. He'd watched Hagen after Brooke had left. His alpha had been forced to turn the woman he loved, and she wasn't able to deal with it here, surrounded by the Ashcrew. She'd escaped to Boulder and spent months trying to control the grizzly inside of her, and Tegan had burned up, losing the connection with the enraged animal that sat just below the surface of his skin. And Dennison had burned with him. He'd known that feeling, felt the ache of a mate loss. He hadn't been able to talk to Tegan or look at the heartbreak in his eyes without feeling sick to his stomach. Watching Tegan try to go on with life after losing Brooke had dredged up so many feelings about Danielle, memories, and a stark reminder of all he'd lost. He'd burned inside along with his alpha, but he'd hidden his sleepwalking
and uncontrollable changes. Nightmares of awful things happening to Danielle in some anonymous city where he couldn't get to her, couldn't save her. When Brooke had returned, the relief Dennis had felt was almost tangible. The nightmares had stopped, and the sleepwalking too. He was able to put the pain away and lock it behind a set of iron doors in his mind. He could function again without being consumed with thoughts of his own lost mate. Now Danielle was back too. Dennison had seen the bond between Taken and Brooke grow over the months, and he wanted that with Danielle so badly, he was second-guessing every decision he made with her. He had to be careful about his timing, but he couldn't wait too long, or she'd feel left out and leave like she did last time. Either way, he'd probably lose her. Women didn't tend to stick around for this kind of life, and especially not human women. Choosing him back would mean painful decisions. It would mean deciding to become a bear shifter from his bite if she ever wanted to be truly claimed by him. It meant they would struggle to start a family, because history showed it was difficult for his kind to breed. She'd have to think long and hard about whether he was worth the pain and the constant care of the angry animal he would put inside of her. And then she'd have to decide if he was enough for her, if she could handle them being a family of two for the rest of their lives, if he wasn't able to give her a cub. Shit. He curved his spine over the pain in his stomach. Gripping the wheel until his hands hurt, he shook his head in the dark at the predicament he'd found himself in. He'd been a kid when he met Danielle, gangly and barely over 20, and he'd allowed his bear to bond to her, to a human, without thinking of the consequences to her. He'd been so stupid. But love had ruled his life. His instincts had screamed she was his from the first time he'd met her, but he'd fought it. He tried to spare her at first, spare her from his past and from the danger that lurked, snarling and waiting inside of him. But Danielle didn't get the name Badger for nothing. That woman had wanted him back and was determined to have him. And he'd given in to her. How could he not? She was his mate, and he wanted to please her, wanted to be with her and make her happy. Satisfying her had been the only thing that ever soothed the seething turmoil that constantly bubbled inside of him. It was bearable when she was near. At 21, he hadn't been strong enough to resist the idea that Danielle, the beautiful balm to his slashed-up soul, could be his for always. He looked at her again and hated himself for what he would ask her to do. She looked so innocent and happy, cuddled against the passenger seat of his Bronco, snuggling the baby goat. It didn't matter that claiming her would be wrong, though, or that it would hurt her. He already knew he would ask her, because he was too weak to let her go again. "I'm going to name him Bosephus. We can call him Bo for short," Danielle said sleepily as she handed the goat to Brooke. The woman laughed and nodded. "That's a fine trailer park goat name. Taken is setting up a pen for him behind our place for the night."
"Nighty-night, Whittlebowl,"
Danielle said in a silly voice as she scratched behind his oversized, drooping gray ears. "I'll give you a million snuggles tomorrow." She kissed a little white swirl of fur right between his eyes, then watched Brooke and Taken leave with him. Aw, she was gonna miss Bo until tomorrow. She'd never had a goat before, though she knew a ridiculous amount of random facts about them, thanks to her insatiable thirst for knowledge on anything furry, covered in tree bark or plant matter. When she turned around, Dennison was looking at her with his lips pursed into a thin line. He almost looked sad. "I'm staying with you tonight," she announced, marching past him into his trailer. "The Airstream is too big and lonely." His deep chuckle behind her sent chills of anticipation up the back of her neck.
"Badger, you're welcome to stay with me anytime you want to."
He muttered something under his breath, and she turned. "What did you say?"
"I said you're welcome to stay with me."
"No, after that. What did you mutter all quiet and sneaky-like?" His nostrils flared as he inhaled deeply.
"I said, forever, if you like."
She moved to the couch in the center of the living room and leaned against the back to buy herself time to settle the flapping butterfly wings fluttering around her belly. "You'd let me stay here forever?" Dennison closed the door gently behind him, then leaned his back against it.
Of course I would.
She couldn't help the emotional smile that commandeered her face. Today was the best day I can remember. His gaze darkened and dipped to her tender lip.
Even though Matt hurt you?
Yes, he didn't ruin our day, only a tiny part of it. You let me in a little today, and was more than you gave me in the months that we were together last time. You've changed, Dennison Donovan Beck, and for the better if you ask me. I liked the boy you were. I love the man you've become. He approached slow and slipped his hands around her waist, then bent down and rested his cheek against hers. As if he heard the cadence of music that wasn't there, he rocked them slowly back and forth in a dance that made her melt against him.
Tell me more about what you like, he murmured in a soft stroke against her ear.
I like that you are so devoted to your friends here. I like that you and Brighton are still close. And I like how you treat Skylar and Brooke. You boys revere them, always moving to take care of their needs before your own. You treated me like that today, and it made me feel adored and cared for. I like that you seem proud to have me beside you, that you don't mind that the boys gave you a hard time over showing affection toward me. I like that you respect Mother Nature. And Denny?
Yeah, he asked, easing back to expose the deep happiness in his eyes. I like your tattoo. You think it's sexy, don't you, Badger? He accused with a chuckle.
Yes, she whispered, tracing his shirt where she knew the outline of it was. Running her fingertip along his defined peck, she smiled when he rolled his eyes closed and shivered under her touch. But more than that, it's sweet that you did that for me, even after what I'd done to you. I hurt you, hurt us both, and you still paid tribute to what we'd had. That says a lot about your loyalty. He grabbed her hand without missing a step in their slow dance and kissed her knuckles.
You were always it for me, Danielle. It's the way it works with me, with everyone here. I could have never cheated on you like you thought. It isn't in my makeup. I only want you, for always.
She rested her forehead against his chest and tried to stifle the excited energy he caused when he admitted sentiments like this. I'm scared, he whispered. Frowning, she looked up at him. Of me? Why?
When this job ends for you, and you've done all you can do for research, I'm afraid you'll leave me again.
That didn't sound like what he'd meant to say. Dennison was still holding back, but she understood. She'd burned him on the way out of town, and she would have to earn his trust back. She stretched up on tiptoes and kissed him in a gentle promise that she was here to stay. Even when the job with Reynolds ended, she would find a way to work in these woods, near the man she loved, near the man she'd always loved. She was going to put in the time and prove to him she wouldn't run when things got hard or confusing again. She tugged at his shirt, scratching her nails gently against his skin as she lifted the hem, then tossed the fabric onto a heap on the floor. Still swaying her hips with his, she trailed little sucking kisses down his jaw and to his chest. She pressed her lips against the different shapes in his tattoo, then pulled his taut nipple between her teeth. Dennison muttered a curse as his hips bucked forward. Danielle brushed her fingers down his flexed mounds of abdominal muscles and pulled at the bottom of his jeans, then tugged the denim down his legs. His muscles twitched and jerked under her careful touch, and when she eased down the elastic band of his briefs, he inhaled in a gasp when her finger brushed the long length of his stone-hard erection. He gripped the back of the couch until his knuckles turned white and his triceps bulged. His eyes were light gray now, not quite silver, but she would get him there. With a wicked grin, she knelt in front of him as he watched her with hooded eyes. The kitchen light was the only illumination, casting his flexing muscles into shadows and highlights. He was beautiful, bare in front of her, exposed, with that naughty smile that said he was utterly comfortable in his own skin. Gripping the base of his cock, she teased his head with her tongue, tasting the drop of moisture that had beaded up on his tiny slit. Salt and Dennison, and her stomach clenched with want. He moaned and tensed his hips as she pulled him into her mouth, then eased back. In no hurry, she set a slow rhythm. She wanted to make him feel as good as he made her feel, She stroked him, careful with her teeth, lapping with her tongue, until she could feel the veins go hard, until she could feel him swell in her mouth, until he bucked against her and clenched her hair, guiding her. His stomach muscles strained, and he rocked into her mouth in shorter, faster bursts. She touched herself outside of her jeans.
Fuck, Danny, I'll do that again.
He leaned over and watched her cup her sex, then pulled his cock from her mouth.
Stop, stop, stop. I'm going to come.
He rasped out, closing his eyes tightly. That was the point, she teased. His lips were on her mouth before she'd even registered that he moved. He pulled her upward into his arms, hooked his hand behind her knees, and carried her to the bedroom, as if she weighed nothing. The room was bigger than she'd imagined, with quaint wainscoting along the walls, soft green paint, and old-fashioned sconces on either side of a plush-looking queen-size bed, adorned with neutral brown tones and mannish sheets. Much nicer than she ever would have guessed for an old trailer in the middle of the wilderness. Dennison flipped on the switch near the door, and a soft golden glow lit the room. Settling her onto the bed, he brushed soft, biting kisses down her neck before pulling her boots off and peeling her jeans from her thighs. Her shirt and bra joined the pile on the floor. The window unit air conditioner blew cold air across her skin, chilling her. With trembling fingers, she reached for Dennison and smiled at the way he raked his silvery eyes from her lips to her breast to her navel, then to the apex between her legs. You're beautiful, he murmured. And right now she felt beautiful. How could she not, as he brushed his fingers down her ribcage and dragged his gaze along her collarbones, exploring her body? He wasn't rushing to satisfaction. He was adoring her. Covering her body with his, he lifted up one of her legs and lowered his lips to hers. He canted his head and pushed his tongue past the closed seam of her mouth. Denny, her Denny, even tasted familiar from what she remembered. The head of his thick erection pressed against her wet slit, and she whimpered at the tease. You always were a noisy little thing, he murmured against her lips. I got off for years, remembering how you used to say my name, all helpless, like you needed me inside of you. He rolled his hips forward, and his cock pressed into her, deeper by an inch. Spreading her legs wider, she met his shallow thrust this time. He was propped on his elbows, trying to hold his weight from her, and his triceps flexed with every powerful stroke. Running her hands up the steely tautness of his muscles, the ones he'd earned doing hard, manual labor as a timberman, not a gym rat like she'd thought. She tilted her chin up and bit his lip hard to punish him for being too gentle with her. He groaned as she moved for the tight cords of muscle in his throat and brushed her teeth against his skin.
Brooke checked my neck today to see if you'd bit me, she said. I don't know what that means yet, but I think you wanted to earlier when we were together in your Bronco. You wanted to bite me then, didn't you, Jenny?
His breath came in short pants, and he thrust his full length into her until she was full of him, stretching around him.
Didn't you?
She asked again.
Yes, he gritted out. I want to now, but I won't. Not until you understand what it means. Well, if you won't tell me, maybe I'll just bite you first. Where do you want it? Here?
She pressed her teeth over his collarbone. Dennison shuddered hard enough that his shoulders shook. He slammed into her, and she closed her eyes against the pleasure building inside.
Or here?
She whispered, then bit harder onto the hard muscle near his tattoo. His breath was nothing but desperate-sounding gasps now as he bucked into her again and again. He closed his eyes, and teeth gritted. He let off a helpless sound. She tested him, biting down hard enough that it should have been painful, but he pushed his chest toward her mouth as if the burn brought him pleasure. She bit down harder, close to piercing his skin, and he threw his head back as a snarl rumbled from deep within his throat. Over and over, he bucked into her, until the pressure was too much. She released his skin and cried out his name as ecstasy pounded through her. Streams of warmth filled her as Dennison froze and buried his face against her neck. He pressed into her twice more, then lay throbbing and spent across her body as she trailed her fingernails up and down his back. And when his muscles relaxed completely, and his eyes had darkened to a stormy gray again. He pulled the covers over them and cradled her in the crook of his arm. With one forearm under his head, he stared at the ceiling as she listened to a steady, drumming heartbeat that pounded a strong rhythm under her cheek. His tattoo stood stark against the soft sconce lighting, a reminder that he'd loved her even after she'd gone from his life, and she traced the arcing, abstract shapes there.
"Danny," she murmured.
"Hmm?
Someday you'll let me in, won't you?"
He was quiet for so long she thought he wouldn't answer. His voice was deep and serious when he finally spoke again.
"Someday I'll show you all of me, and then you'll run."
There was no use denying him when he sounded so sure of their fate. He was wrong, though. No matter what happened, and no matter what he was hiding, she wouldn't run again. She hated herself for earning his distrust. Around the emotional lump in her throat, she whispered,
"I'm sorry for leaving."
His fingers combed through her hair, and he leaned down and brushed his lips against her temple.
"I forgive you."
Chapter 10. Dennison rubbed the place on his chest Danielle had almost pierced with her teeth last night. Damn, he'd wanted her, too. Usually it was the male bear shifters who left a mark on their mates, but he and Danielle weren't like any of the pairs he'd ever met. He would have gladly bore her mark. If she knew what it meant, that was. Bo, the half-grown pygmy goat, followed Danielle around a giant pine tree like a puppy. They'd hiked for hours this morning, as she collected bark samples from trees in various stages of beetle infestation. She'd taken water samples and packed vials from different ponds into a cooler she carried in a loaded backpack. He'd offered to carry the thing since it looked atrociously heavy for a smaller woman like her, but apparently she didn't need the help. She'd swatted his hand away and continued her mutterings about some kind of blue fungus. The forest green backpack, he'd come to learn, was an entire portable library on animals and fauna native to this region. Dennison got why her boss wanted her to have a guide. She was plenty capable in the wilderness, and was obviously a knowledgeable woodswoman, but she would have had to depend on topographical maps to find what she wanted. That, and wandering around these woods on her own. The realization of how close they were to the Grayback crew's current job site made him downright grateful to her boss for pushing the issue. He could hear the machinery from here, though Danielle, with her dulled human senses, likely wouldn't notice anything but the sounds of the woods. Sure, he missed the job site and working with his crew today, but at least Danielle was safe when he was with her. He settled onto a fallen tree, nestled in patches of waving summer grasses, and watched Danielle take another measurement of the tree she was muttering to. It was cute that she talked to herself when she was working. Already, he'd learned more about the squishy green moss at the base of some of the trees than he had in his entire outdoor experience. Pulling a long stem of grass, he gave a private grin as she bent down in one fluid motion and gave Beau a drink of canteen water from a tiny Dixie cup Kellen had given her this morning. Usually, he and the boys took shots out of those, but today, this one served as the goat cup. "Can you help me cord this section off?" she called.
"Be happy to," he answered.
She'd been roping sections off all morning, then counting the affected trees versus the healthy ones for more accuracy. Then she would scribble the numbers in her notepad, and likely use some formula later that would give her an accurate idea of just how devastated this forest was. If he was honest, he was in awe of her knowledge of the area. He was an animal, and learned by exploring and listening to instinct, but Danielle was smart, book smart. She knew most of the plants and trees and knew scientific facts about each one. And if she didn't know something, she dropped down and flipped through her plant books, then repeated the name over and over until she committed it to memory. Now, he wasn't a smart man or an overly educated one, but he had other qualities about himself he liked just fine. He could play music and make people happy with his songs. He didn't have stage fright, and he was good with his hands. He had a strong back and could work big machinery on the job site. His alpha trusted him with just about everything up on the landing. Danielle, though, she had intelligence to go with her quick wit and happy demeanor. And he found that damn sexy. He tried to focus on the task at hand as she tossed him the pre-measured loops of rope, but she looked good in her little forest ranger outfit, Khakis, thick-soled hiking boots, and a mud-colored tank top clung to her curves. And he couldn't for the life of him figure out if he liked her better in this getup or that sexy miniskirt she'd been wearing at Sammy's bar. His bear was practically humming under his surface with possessive happiness. She was his. Danielle just didn't know how thoroughly she'd been chosen yet. Chapter 11. It had been 6 glorious days spent exploring the woods with Dennison, and Danielle couldn't remember being any happier. She wished this job would never end. Perhaps if she did what Reynolds wanted her to well enough, he would extend her month-long contract. She was going to ask him about it when she met up with him tomorrow. Beau bleated from his oversized dog bed near the couch in the Airstream. The little hellion had gone to headbutting Dennison whenever he got the chance, but he was sweet as pie to her. She loved him ridiculous amounts. After tying the laces of her hiking boots, she grabbed her backpack and the stack of notebooks she'd filled with nature scribbles, drawings, and calculations, then opened the door and stepped out into the gray early morning light. She waited for Beau to jump clumsily over the single stair after her before she closed the door. The trailer park was immersed in chaos as the ash crew readied to head up to the job site for the day. Dennison had taken her up there yesterday and showed her around. She'd imagined all of the dangers of his job, but hadn't really realized just how grueling the work was, until she saw the crew working to drag logs up the mountain with that heavy machinery firsthand. She tried to keep her worrying to herself, though, because it was plain and obvious that Dennison loved his job. They all did. She waved to Tegan as he shoved a lunch pail into his truck. He smiled back, but it wasn't his usual greeting. Worry sat in his blue eyes. She only caught the glimpse of concern before he hopped into his big old black pickup truck with its heavily tinted windows. That was weird. Hey, Danielle, Brooke called from the door of the trailer she shared with Tegan. She was still in flannel pajama bottom pants and a red tank top she probably slept in. Her blonde hair was mussed, and she looked pale, as if she wasn't feeling well again. Yeah? Come see me after you go out with Dennison today, okay? I want to show you something. Sure, I'll come straight over. Danielle frowned as Brooke closed the door behind her. Something was up this morning. The usual rowdy greetings from the crew had been skipped, and everyone seemed on edge. Engines turned over and roared to life, and one by one, the trucks backed out of cracked pavement parking spaces and headed up the road that would lead them to the job site. Dennison stood bent at the waist as he rested his elbows on the railing of his porch. The megawatt smile he usually gave her first thing in the morning was missing. He didn't scoop her up and fondle her ass like he hadn't seen her for days, either. Warning bells clanged around her head, louder than the trucks that rumbled away and echoed off the mountainside. You need to leave Beau here today, Dennison said as she approached. But why? She looked down at her little furry buddy, who was currently chewing on the cuff of her pants. She'd grown accustomed to having him and Dennison around her while she worked. It would be strange collecting and pressing plants without the rascal trying to eat them. Dennison didn't answer, and a muscle twitched under his eye as he stared at her. He looked angry, and something more. Scared. What had she done wrong? Okay, I'll go put him in his pen. After Beau was penned, fed, and his water dish changed for fresh, she closed the gate Tegan had constructed and shuffled toward Dennison. She shouldered her backpack and hid her surprise when he crossed the street and headed to a small fence that surrounded the small trailer park. This wasn't the way they usually went to work, and she had a grid to follow. Dennison didn't say a word and didn't look back to see if she was following. And with every step she took on the thin trail that led up into the mountain that overlooked the trailer park, dread weighed heavier across her shoulders, pressing against her more and more until it was hard to breathe. The trail wound around ancient evergreens, with trunks so large it would take 2 grown men to wrap their arms around them. The smell of sap and ozone filled the air, and above her, dark clouds churned and warned of an oncoming storm. The wind kicked up as she climbed over a boulder, whipping her hair this way and that until she gave up and pulled her dark tresses back in a high ponytail. Danny didn't slow down, nor did he offer to help her up a steep embankment like he usually would. Perhaps he was still angry about her leaving, and had decided she couldn't be trusted after all. She swallowed hard as tears stung her eyes from the thought of losing all she'd found over the last week. The endless days of joking with Denny, and the nights in his arms, feeling like she belonged somewhere for the first time. She thought of her friends, and how badly it would hurt to leave them when Denny made her go. By the time she'd stepped into a clearing on the side of the mountain, she'd worked herself up quite capaciously. Denny stepped from behind a tree and pulled his shirt off. His chest was heaving, as if emotion was choking him, like it was her. He approached slowly, then hooked his finger under her chin and lifted her gaze to his. With a serious look that was completely at odds with the natural smile lines of his face, he murmured, "This is me, Danielle. Remember your promise." Her eyes went wide, and she gasped as she absorbed what he was saying. Denison kicked out of his boots and jeans, then tossed them into a pile near the tree. Behind him was rolling mountains covered in pines and the gray morning sky. Above them, a giant bird screeched a call, and Denison stretched his neck up, watching it. The first drops of rain spattered across his shoulders, and when he looked back at her, his eyes were the color of silver pond minnows, flashing like the lightning in the distance. She held her breath, afraid if she kept panting so hard she'd pass out. A smattering of pops echoed through the clearing, and his neck snapped backward. His form grew, and in a moment of disorienting confusion, a giant animal exploded from the man she loved. Sand-colored fur covered every inch of him, and 6-inch razor-sharp claws the color of tar stretched from paws that were bigger than her face. His big blockhead shook back and forth as if he needed to rid himself of the last tingles of his transformation. And those silvery eyes she'd come to love watched her. His lips pulled back over impossibly long canines, weapons made for ripping and killing. Her shoulders sagged, and she sank to the earth on her knees as he opened his mouth and let out a thunderous roar. All this time, Denny, her Denny, had been harboring a grizzly bear inside of him. Denison waited for the running. He waited for the screaming. Hell, he would have settled for a few curses tossed his way, like Danielle usually flung into the universe when she was scared. What he hadn't been prepared for was crying. Shit. He lowered his head and approached her slowly, trying not to scare her any more than she probably already was. Now she was sobbing, hiccups filling her throat as the rain came down harder on his mate. He didn't want that. Hadn't meant to hurt her. He was too riled up and scared to change back into his human skin. So he crept forward and emitted a low rattling noise, a worried question if she was a bear shifter and understood the language.
"I thought you were evil," she sobbed, throwing her arms around his neck.
Denison froze, utterly baffled as she clutched his fur in her clenched fists. If he wasn't mistaken, there were a few hysterical-sounding laughs mixed in with her crying. Well, that couldn't be good, right?
"Denny, you're not evil,"
she said, easing back and looking him right in his bare eyeballs.
"You're a bear."
Okay, Danielle was starting to sound excited. Tegan had been preparing him for days for Danielle's reaction, but none of the scenarios included hugging her boyfriend, the freaking grizzly, around his terrifying neck. Clearly, Danielle had been grossly underestimated. He huffed a shocked laugh sound and nuzzled her face until she giggled. Relief flooded his veins, making him feel high as a kite. He'd smoked joints that didn't have this much kick. With a rocking motion, he scooped her up, careful of his claws near her fragile human skin, and pulled her against his chest. She was hugging him tightly and laughing like a maniac, proving all his fears and nightmares over the past week null and void. He'd been wrong to be so scared of her reaction.
"Denny, Denny, Denny, my big, silly bear, this is your secret?"
She clutched tighter to his fur, and he rubbed his face against her cheek, then moved to the other side, showing her just how much he appreciated her being such a brave mate.
I thought you were a vampire or a zombie, but you're a werebear. How fucking awesome is that?
Not awesome at all, until now. Mostly being a werebear was a pain in the big furry ass. She was sobbing again, shoulders shaking, and he hugged her tighter. And then she was petting him. She ran her hands in long strokes down his shoulder blades as she cried against his fur. It wasn't the scared kind of weeping he would have understood. Her shoulders relaxed with every heave of raw emotion. Danielle seemed relieved. Closing his eyes, he tucked his animal back inside of him and slipped into his human skin again. She felt so good in his arms as she tucked her elbows in and snuggled against the now smooth skin of his chest. He kissed down her neck, tiny rewards for her being so understanding.
"You let me in," she said, pulling back and cupping his face. "You finally let me in on the big secret."
"I trust you." Dennison's voice was raw, but that came from the pain of changing back so quickly. "You didn't run."
"I told you I wouldn't. I don't care that you have a bear inside of you. I still love you, Denny. Maybe more now, because you finally shared that part of yourself with me."
"Damn, Badger." He leaned his forehead against hers and closed his eyes, absorbing how good it felt to be with his mate, and not hiding the biggest part of him anymore. She knew now, and she was still here. "I love you, too. More than anything. I was so scared I was going to lose you again."
"No, silly bear, you're stuck with me," she grinned. "Don't you know I love animals?"
He huffed a laugh and tucked a strand of damp hair behind her ear. "This isn't all of it, though."
Tell me everything and be done with it. No more hiding."
"This isn't a safe life." He gripped her waist to try to steady himself. Every time he thought about his past, his body wanted to seize and reject the memories. "If you choose to stay with me, you'll always be in danger. We don't live in a trailer park in the woods because it's our first choice, Danielle. It's safest for us here. We are freer to shift without being found out. But there are people who know about us. If you stay, you'll always have to be careful of everything you say to people outside of the crew. You'll always be looking over your shoulder."
Her dark eyebrows drew up with concern. "Who else knows?"
God, he wished he could swallow this down and never talk about it. He'd never admitted this to anyone but Tegan. But he was dedicated to doing things right this time around with Danielle. He couldn't keep secrets and expect her to stick around for half-truths. He inhaled a deep, steadying breath. "When Brighton and I were 16, my parents left us alone for the first time to have a date night. I know that sounds extreme, but my family wasn't part of a crew. We were out there in the middle of the human population trying our best to blend in, and my parents were protective. My sister had already moved out and joined up with a crew in Denver, but Brighton and I were still too young. We wanted Mom and Dad to trust us to be home alone again, so we weren't about to have a raging party or anything. Just some pizza for dinner, and we had a pool table. So I was planning on kicking his ass at that. But half an hour after Mom and Dad left, these men came for us. Black ops type, dressed in helmets and bulletproof vests." "Shit." He scrubbed his hands over his face, not entirely sure he could do this without breaking down. Dennison stood and kissed the top of her head, then moved toward the pile of clothes and began redressing to give him something to focus on other than telling this damn story. "I don't remember much. Only flashes. White rooms. A man with black hair and a white lab coat and a surgical mask. A long hallway." He fastened the snap on his jeans and dragged his burning eyes to Danielle's. "Screaming. Mine and Brighton's."
"Oh my gosh," Danielle murmured. She looked like she was going to be sick.
"I think we were sedated so we wouldn't change. Or maybe they did something to my head to erase what I'd seen, I don't know. But I have this nightmare. I get it over and over. I think maybe it's a memory. I'm walking down this hall, and I feel drunk like my feet aren't really touching the floor. But I look in this window, and Brighton
is laid out on a table, strapped down while these two doctors are cutting into him. There was blood everywhere. Only my brother isn't sedated. He's looking back at me, eyes wide like he can feel every cut they're making on him. And I'm burning, like I'm on fire, and my bear rips out of me. And I rip through these chains on my wrists and ankles and shred the two people who were walking me down the hall. And then I wake up, every time.
Is that what happened to Brighton's voice?
Horror had transformed her face, horror and devastation, and he could tell she was cut to her middle with his admission, because she was wearing the same haunted look he'd seen in the mirror for the last 9 years. He pulled his shirt on and avoided eye contact. Any emotional upheaval from her now, and he was done for. His throat would clog, his voice would shake, and his animal wouldn't allow such weak behavior. He'd change again to avoid the pain. Danielle approached and rubbed her hands up his back. He let her reassurance wash over him. When she wrapped her arms around his waist and rested her palms against his stomach from behind, he pressed his hand over hers to keep her there. Her cheek rested between his shoulder blades, and a warm, calming sensation spread from where she touched him, downward, until his limbs tingled with the comfort.
"Brighton won't talk about what happened," he murmured. "He won't talk at all. They took his voice from him and scarred his body with their testing. He has never said it, but I think he remembers. It's an unspoken rule between us that we just don't ever bring it up. Brighton will disappear for days if I do." Pain seared through Dennison's middle as he remembered the awful years after they'd been taken. He'd been lucky enough to have been spared the memories, but Brighton had gone dim and became a ghost of his former self with whatever demons he was carrying. When I came around, we were back home. Brighton had gotten me back somehow, but he was cut up real bad. We've been missing for 3 days. 3 days at the hands of people who knew exactly what we were. This would be your life, Danielle. You would be at risk if anyone ever found out.
The others in the Ash Crew? Are they like you too?
All but Skyla. She's a Falcon shifter, but she is one of us in all the ways that count.
All the ways that count, Danielle repeated in a hushed voice.
Dennison turned and rested his back against the giant evergreen, then pulled her closer, settling her between his splayed legs and against his chest.
I want to be with you. My animal chose you as my mate years ago when we were together. There was never going to be another for me, because that's how it works. If a shifter like me is lucky enough to find a mate, it's a one-time bond. I have instincts, and they constantly urge me to claim you.
Claim me? Is that the biting part Brooke talked about?
Yeah.
He swallowed hard and hoped he had the right words to explain.
We can still be together, if you're human. We don't have to do anything. We could stay just as we are. We could live the rest of our lives happy, just like this. There would be no bite, though. That would turn you. I don't need that to be with you. It would hurt, and I don't want to hurt you. You should know how it is, because the guys will bring it up.
Are Brooke and Skyler claimed?
Dennison nodded slowly. Her face fell, and she dropped her gaze to his tattoo.
I can't belong to the Ash Crew if I'm not claimed by you, can I?
His chest hurt as he watched the pain flash across her face.
Not as a human, and not according to our traditions. But that doesn't mean you can't be with me and live with me. The Ash Crew would still be your friends, even if you aren't a shifter.
But I wouldn't be family. Not like you all are.
Her soft brown eyes went round.
Brooke said it was hard to have babies. Would it be hard for us too?
He wished the answer was different. Wished he could put her mind at ease and tell her that someday he would be able to give her a cub. He wouldn't keep the truth from her anymore, though. From here on, she got nothing but honesty from him. She'd earned it.
It would be hard for us. Impossible, maybe.
She dropped her chin to her chest. He dealt her a blow, and he rubbed her back in sympathy. He wanted to give her the world,
not take things away from her. They'd never talked about having children, but she would make a wonderful mother. She was caring, sensitive, and had deep empathy, and the thought of never watching her swell with his child ripped his guts out. "We don't have to decide anything right now," he murmured. "Even without the mark, you're mine, and I'm yours. I don't care if you stay human. You are my mate."
"Yeah?"
She looked up, doe eyes brimming with moisture and full of hope. If she only knew how deeply she'd burrowed into his heart, she'd never be insecure about his devotion to her again. Always. Chapter 12. How was Danielle supposed to settle down and have a professional business meeting with Reynolds and Darren after everything she'd found out over the past 24 hours? Her mind was frazzled with the influx of information she'd absorbed. Vampires? Damn, had she been wrong. She'd made friends with a crew of badass, rip-roaring, protective-as-hell grizzly shifters. She leaned over the steering wheel of her Jeep and laughed out loud. Dennison was a lumberjack werebear. Now that was sexy. Sexy, but dangerous. He wasn't a danger to her, though. Every instinct she'd possessed screamed that he'd never hurt her. Even yesterday, when he turned in front of her, he was a gentle giant. He'd look scary enough with his big barrel chest and powerful arms that shook the earth with each thundering step. But his eyes had been soft and sad when she'd been crying with the relief of finally understanding what he'd been hiding from her. No, he wouldn't hurt her. But rather, he lived in constant danger. She'd wondered why Dennison hadn't gone big with his singing, why he hadn't left this tiny town and made a name for himself. Anyone with ears could tell he was special with that clear baritone, natural affinity for musical instruments, and a memory for lyrics that stretched for miles. Now she got it. Big dreams like that would be a risk for a man like Dennison. It would expose him to more people and put his animal in situations he wouldn't be able to control. He wouldn't be able to hide his shifting eye color or the snarl in his throat, and it would put all shifters at risk. So here he was, year after year, frozen in time, as he played his weekly gig at Sammy's and plucked out tunes around the bonfire for his crew. She was so proud of what he was, of the man and the bear he'd grown up to be while she'd been away. But that didn't mean he led an easy life. What he and Brighton had gone through when they were teenagers was awful. Even if he didn't remember much of his time being tested on, she'd witnessed firsthand the devastation in his face as he told the story. No wonder Brighton didn't want to talk, not even at a whisper. His missing voice had to be a constant reminder of what had been done to him. If she chose to stay here with the Ash Crew, she would have to learn to be overly careful to protect the people she loved. She'd done as Brooke asked, and knocked on her door after she and Dennison had come down from the mountains. Brooke had showed her a beautiful painting she'd done of Danielle and a grizzly, Dennison, sitting beside each other on the edge of the landing, looking out over the stars, sitting close to each other, but not touching. Afterward, Brooke had sat her down and told her of how she'd been turned by Tegan at the cruel order of the Last Alpha. She had told Danielle about how he'd killed one of his own crew to save her, and explained how hard it had been when she'd first been turned. She had told her about how much it had changed her from the person she used to be. Danielle had already known what she would gain by joining the Ash Crew, friends, family, and an unbreakable bond and sense of belonging. But Brooke had also let her know exactly what she would be giving up if she chose to allow Dennison to claim her and put a bear inside of her. She had a big decision to make, but she couldn't make it now, not when her head was supposed to be wrapped up in this meeting. There was an environmentalist outpost half an hour's drive from the Ashland Mobile Park. She hit the brakes and pulled to a stop in front of a dilapidated log cabin with the overgrown landscaping. She tried to match it to her memories of the outpost from her internship here years ago, but couldn't. She frowned and checked the directions Reynolds had texted her again. 101 Pine Pass. This was definitely the place. A black SUV was parked alongside the house, and she stifled the nervous flutters in her stomach as she exited her Jeep and gathered her notebooks. This would be her second meeting with Darren, but her first with Reynolds, and he was the one who held the power to extend her contract so she could stay here with Dennison. With a deep breath, she stepped around an empty, moss-colored birdbath and knocked on the front door.
"Come in,"
a man called from inside. She opened the door and squinted into the dark room. The lights hadn't been turned on, and it took her eyes a couple of seconds to adjust after coming in from the sunny weather outside. The cabin seemed to be one room, and definitely not the outpost she remembered. In the middle of the floor was an old desk, polished to shining, and a high-back office chair turned away from her. When she closed the door behind her, the chair turned, and the man from the lumberjack competition, the one with the pitch-black hair gone silver at the sides and cold hazel eyes, stared back at her with the empty smile he'd given her the first time they'd met.
"Mr. Reynolds?"
Her voice trembled as frost blasted up the back of her neck.
"The one and only. Have a seat, Miss Clayton. I do believe you have some information I need."
"Right. The beetle infestation."
She folded herself carefully into the creaking leather chair in front of the desk and settled her sack of notebooks into her lap. Reynolds was wearing a black three-piece suit, and more power to the man for dressing well, but this wasn't a corporate business meeting. He gestured to her with an open palm.
"Whenever you're ready."
"Aren't we waiting for Darren?"
He blinked slowly.
"Darren isn't working for me anymore. He couldn't follow directions."
The way he talked down about Darren, as if he were a petulant child who couldn't mind rules, grated against Danielle's nerves. She hadn't liked the guy either, but when she'd initially met with him, he'd seemed professional enough and passionate about the environment here. Reynolds lifted his eyebrows and clasped his hands on the desk between them, the picture of impatience. Clearing her throat, she pulled a stack of printed notes from the front flap of her biggest journal.
"I've printed off the most important findings for you as a quick reference for what I'll be talking about."
She slid the paper-clipped papers across the desk. Reynolds lifted his hands so she could push the papers under them, but he didn't look down at her notes. He only stared blankly ahead at her. Uneasiness spread through her, making it hard to focus on the notebook she held clutched in her shaking hands.
"The infestation is much worse than previously thought," she began. "The beetles have demolished, or are in the process of demolishing, more than a quarter of the trees here already. Worse than the loss of the trees, though, is the loss of balance in the ecosystem. Native animals and insects that make their homes in and around these infected trees are already being affected. In small quantities, the pine beetles can be beneficial, serving to wipe out old and sick trees to allow for sunlight to reach the pine cones on the forest floor. But it has been so dry and hot in recent years, and the forest is mostly made up of mature trees with fewer saplings that the beetle population has exploded. They use the bark to lay their eggs under, and they also introduce a blue fungus to the tree that slowly stops water and nutrient flow, eventually starving the tree. With the ongoing drought, the trees are already stressed and susceptible to the beetles. The landowner who hired crews to clear territory in sections is onto something. At this rate, the living ponderosa and lodgepole pines won't be salvageable and will sicken like the others at an alarming rate."
"Fascinating."
The way Mr. Reynolds said it made it seem like he wasn't interested at all.
"Now share with me some information I could actually use. Tell me everything you know about Dennison Beck and his brother, Brighton."
Shock slashed through her chest and sucked the air out of the room, congealing the oxygen in her lungs.
"I was hired to study the beetle problem in this area. That is what I'm trained in, and that's the only reason I took this job. If you have questions about anything else, I can't help you."
Mr. Reynolds opened a drawer beside him and pulled out a stack of glossy 8x10 pictures, then slid them in front of her. The horror and gore of the picture in front of her made her gasp and cover her mouth with her hands. A woman in a lab coat lay on a sterile-looking tile floor, her stomach ripped to shreds, and her throat torn out.
"You don't have to play coy with me, Miss Clayton. I'm fully aware of what Dennison is. I realize you likely feel an unnecessary loyalty to him, which is why I chose you to spy on the Ash Crew."
She couldn't take her eyes away from the woman in the picture. You see, Dennison is